the downside to reading, to hearing that song, not on Christmas Eve, is there's a certain heat that radiates from the candles that's missing. But as Christmas gets ever closer, let us hear from the prophet Micah. Micah 5, verses 2 through 5. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephraim, of Ariphath, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. If the Assyrians come into our land and tread upon our soil, we will raise against them 7 shepherds and 8 installed as rulers. Our second scripture comes from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 10, 5 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "See, God, I have come to do your will, O God. In the scroll of the book it is written of me." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings, and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law." Then he said, "See, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And it is by God's will that we have been sacrificed through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Everlasting and mighty God, we come to you on this Sunday before Christmas. We come preparing ourselves, our homes, and hopefully our world for you. Help us to be prepared. May your word light and shine forth, guiding that preparation, so that we will be your people. We will be able to stand before you in all your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Christmas is only a few days away. And for some odd reason, it always feels like this is the point in time where time slows down, where suddenly everything grinds to a slowness, like being stuck in the mud when you just can't seem to rock your car out. Maybe it's because school always seemed to hold sway when I was younger, and as soon as school was out, there was no more distraction of studies and papers. Always in seminary and college, there was this, how many more exams do you have to go? How many more papers do you have to write? And then when they were all done, all of a sudden it was like, oh Lord, Christmas is here. Wait, not quite, because there was usually an entire week plus before that. And so you had always to wait. And as Christmas would get closer and closer, the waiting would get harder and harder and harder. Apparently, I was told this week by my aunt that because my brother and I and my sisters couldn't hold the tension well enough, we were allowed to open presents from my aunt and uncle out east. That would be down by Washington, D.C., so but east of Michigan. And my Aunt Helen, my mom's sister, would come and we'd open her presents. So it was Philip's family Christmas on Christmas Eve, except for the fact that all but one member of the Phillips family would be there on Christmas Day. But we would open presents, and that would lessen the tension a little bit and probably cause us to ask fewer questions about, can we open a present today? And things have come quite full circle. Now I have a little boy who every single day, multiple times a day, asks, can I open just one present, Dad? I want to open that one. I'd open any one of them. And then steadily, the frequency of the asking gets more and more as Christmas gets closer. Kids don't hold tension very well. They don't hold waiting very well. But the good news is that Christmas is getting closer. The time of waiting is shrinking. After all, tomorrow is Christmas Eve. In just 37 hours and 29 minutes, we will be celebrating the coming of Christ if we got up at midnight. For the rest of us, we'll wait an extra 7 hours, hopefully. Maybe more if we don't have young ones in the house. Or a long drive ahead. The fact is, the clock is ticking on Christmas. Now, in the traditional calendar schedule, the call to prepare and make ready means one thing. Outside of theological terms, to make ready means you clean the house, you make sure everything is all set to go. If you look at the couch and it's, well, needs to be hidden, you go get one of those covers that you put on it. You basically find a way, whatever way you can, to get ready. And that day that's coming can't be moved. It can't shift. And so you wait. Christmas gives us a finite time, a hard and fast day to prepare for. That's easy. We can count down the minutes, the hours, in a week and plus a little time, we'll have the ball dropping, you know, the timer on it that'll count down until the new year. We can count these things down, but what are we to do when we are preparing for the unknown? When we are preparing in theological terms? Now, set times of preparation in our house look a certain way. Sarah runs her way, I run my way. Each one of us takes one of the children and gets them ready or gets their room ready. And usually there's a coin toss over who gets Barb, and the winner gets Barb. 2-year-olds are far easier than 6-year-olds. They hold still a lot easier. We run and run, and then to most of the extent we are prepared as the calendar, the clock gets closer. It doesn't just have to be Christmas. It could be Labor Day, the 4th of July. When you know and have a finite time, you know the preparations you have to make. You know what you need to do. Holidays have a time and a place. But what do you do when you don't know the date? When you don't know the time? As close as I can say from my own experience, the only time I've ever had this was waiting for a child to be born. You don't know when that moment can be unless you're having a C-section. Then again, it's a nice scheduled finite time and your bags are all set to go. But if you don't know when the child is due, you have a go bag sitting down, ready to go. And if you've been finagled as a husband to go as well to the hospital and stay, you've got your own little go bag. And as soon as the word comes, you're grabbing both bags and hopefully your spouse, and you're rushing for the car, rushing for the hospital, because you're as prepared as you can be. Now, in today's scripture, we hear not of Christ's birth, but an aspect of Christmas, and one that doesn't include magi or angels. It's, after all, so much more to do with Christmas than just a baby in a manger. It's about the hope and promise of God meeting a plan of salvation and putting it into action. Christmas is about so much more than just that. It's about God sending His Son in the most vulnerable way possible, as a little baby. And think about the beauty of that. Think about how, at the very beginning, is a beautiful and sad day when Christ comes. Because with the coming of Christ doesn't just come with the happiness of a child being born. It comes with the knowledge that the child will be born, ministered to the people, and end up on the cross for our sins. He rises and ascends to heaven for us. Today marks the last Sunday in Advent, the last Sunday of our preparation for the coming of Christ, our King. But the coming doesn't just have that initial moment with it. It has that final moment of the cross, the tomb, and then the ascension. Today's scripture speaks of Christ coming into the world, but not in the way we would expect. It talks about how Christ came, not wanting burnt offerings, not wanting accolades, not wanting a parade on Palm Sunday, but wanting, above all else, for God's will to be done. Christ comes not wanting burnt offerings, not wanting gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but of the gift of us doing God's will. That's the almost tragedy of the Christmas story. That Christ comes in so beautiful a way only to die on the cross. You cannot have Christmas without Good Friday and Easter. You can't have Good Friday and Easter without Christmas. They are as enmeshed as kids and messes. That's the problem with so much of our happiness at Christmas. Because Christmas also carries with it a sad note. The sad note that at some point, this child in the manger will go to the cross for us. It is beautiful how He comes. And yes, it is even beautiful how He leaves, because of who and what He does for us. The gift that He gives to us. Jesus comes not for sacrifice and celebrations. But for us to do His will. This is so, so important for us to remember. As Christmas is so close, we can taste the pigs in a blanket. As we can taste that ham in the oven. As we can smell the green bean casserole wafting. Christ shows us how we are to live. Christmas is, in essence, a gift exchange. God gives us a gift which we can never, ever seek to match. It's like that person whose name you draw in the gift exchange, and there's like a $20 limit, and they somehow get your name and they way overspend. You guys don't know when somebody does that? God has so exceeded that which we can do in this gift. God has so far surpassed what we could accomplish. So what can we do? What can we do but to do God's will? As Christmas is distilled down to all its basics, we have a moment where God sends the Son to do God's will. How do we respond to that gift, to that amazing, great gift which we have been given? We respond by following Him and doing God's will. When we set aside the trees, the presents, the absolutely gorgeous poinsettias, the wreaths and everything that we use to celebrate Christmas, when we set that aside, what we are left with is the gift of Christ, who does God's will, because we couldn't. Our first step is to begin. To begin to do God's will as we wait. As we perhaps not very patiently wait, but as we wait for that unknown day when Christ will come again. It's always good to know what we can do as we prepare. How many of us have that person who's a nightmare to get a gift for? I beg to differ. There are not that few of people. Okay. For me, it was always my grandfather's. I would hear my parents for hours after Thanksgiving debate back and forth on what to get their fathers. And it would go on until almost the week before Christmas. Because what do you get for the two men who could have been cast in the movie Grumpy Old Men? What do you get for that person you can never buy a gift for? Well, what ended up happening, so that you're not left wondering, was they would get a basket with all sorts of jams, jellies, and goodies in there. And that was okay, until the year Mom put chocolate in Grandpa Peckich's, and that didn't go over so well. Yes, my grandfather didn't like chocolate. But the fact is, we have someone we are trying to get a gift for, our God. And what do you get the God who has, well, everything and anything? You get the one thing that God desires most, for us to do His will. That doesn't mean that our road of seeking and following is going to be easy. To do God's will has never, ever been easy. Think about the prayer Jesus teaches us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven. And it gets to that very, very Thy will be done. Now, as a former teacher, the one thing I learned with students is if you wanted to remember the kids to remember something, you had to teach it to them again and again and again and again and again. And then you had to keep on teaching. If we pray, are taught to pray a prayer again and again and again and again, is it possible that certain pieces of that prayer are supposed to be remembered? One of those integral pieces is, Thy will be done. Think about it. If we are to do God's will, and we pray that prayer so regularly, shouldn't it be easier? But it's not. So let me encourage you as you put the finishing touches, 15 minutes left, less. So you have 37 hours and 15 minutes now. And when we're done, it'll be just 37 hours to make ready and prepare. So if you haven't gotten your turkey, haven't gotten your ham, if you still need casserole fixings, make sure you're ready. But also, in the time left, make sure you're ready and prepared for the day you will see him again. Because we don't know when that day will be. But that day will come. Amen. At this time, we will respond to our Lord with our gifts from the many